Hey, you guys. Good morning. It's Gina Crash, and the spotlight on Maryland this morning is on the Maryland Food Bank. And I want to introduce you to our two guests this morning. We have Carmen Del Guecho. Did I pronounce that right, Carmen?
You got it perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks to you, President and CEO of the Maryland Food Bank. How long have you been there?
I've been a little over 2 years.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. And Tim Regan is with you, the executive director of your FoodWorks program we're going to be talking all about. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Gina. How you doing?
Nice to see you. And you have been there a little bit longer than that, right?
About 4 years.
Very
about
cool. 4 years. It's nice to meet you both. Thank you for being here. But you guys are here for a number of reasons to enlighten people who are listening right now, but to celebrate your 40th anniversary.
Yeah, 2019, 40 yeah. years.
What a fantastic achievement. Yeah. And I guess we should start really with talking about the issue of hunger in the state of Maryland. What does it look like today? Where are we? And, you know, what is the Maryland Food Bank's role in helping out with all of
that? Yeah, well, that's a great place to start. We it's funny, we host people at our facility every month and for a tour and a lunch. And we've coined that event the I Had No Idea Tour, because inevitably people come into our facility had no idea the magnitude of the problem in the state and the faces of hunger. So it's a great place to start. There's 650,000 people in the state of Maryland who are food insecure, who really don't know where their next nutritious meal is going to come from.
That's what that means, yeah.
Yes. And so that's 1 in 9 folks. So there's people every day who are interacting with folks who are struggling to figure out where how to put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And that issue has been relatively stubborn in terms of its progress. We distribute hundreds of thousands of food meals every year to support this, but still there's a fair number of people who are food insecure. And the reason is that some of the challenges we have in the state, right? We're an expensive state to live in.
Absolutely.
And sometimes people, although the economy shows low unemployment, economy is going well, a lot of things going on in Maryland, very positive, there's still people out there who are struggling to make ends meet. So rising tide is not rising all boats. And today, nearly 40% of the people who are food insecure make too much money to qualify for government assistance. So more and more working families than we ever have served. And that's part of the reason why the number continues to stay stubbornly high.
And whereabouts? You're located near Halethorpe?
So our primary facility, yes, is in Halethorpe near the airport. It's about 130,000 square foot facility, which is our primary shop. And then we have one in Salisbury and one in Hagerstown to make sure we're close to the communities we serve.
Wow. And so, and you've been doing that for 40 years. So what have you noticed from your vantage point? I know you've been here a couple years now. Was your background in a similar, you know, path, or what brought you here, and what have you noticed? Has that need gotten greater? Are you helping to tackle it? Like, where are we in that?
Yeah. So the only thing that's consistent with my previous career is the word banking. So I had 27 years in commercial banking for local organization here, and really, when this opportunity came about, I always felt in the back of my mind that I wanted to get involved in a nonprofit space, and the whole issue of the fact that, you know, there's so many food insecure folks in our state that I wanted to figure out a way to see if we can help them.
You were compelled to do something about
that. Yeah, absolutely. I spent some time on the board, so I got to see the mission from that perspective and really got excited about it. And Tim got to the food bank in a similar way.
Yeah. So I had a long career in the private sector and decided I wanted to give back, but really didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually volunteered one time at the Maryland Food Bank. I was an executive who led our volunteer committee. And we came to the food bank. I worked on the conveyor belt, and I thought, boy, if I could ever get a job here, I think I'm going to try to get a job here. And sure enough, 6 months later, I got a call, and I found out that they were looking for somebody, and I kind of got my way in. So it's been a great 4 years, and I love our mission. You know, I love our team. We're doing really good work.
Yeah, that's great. And your FoodWorks program, just to give it a shout out, we're bouncing ahead a little bit. Tell us about that. That's a culinary training program, right?
Yeah, so FoodWorks is a culinary training program. It's a 12-week long program. It's free to the participant. We focus on low-income Marylanders, so it's really a second chance program. And they get about 24 months of culinary training in 12 high-impact kind of weeks.
Wow.
So we, and, you know, at the end of the, when they graduate from the program, we place them into a job. So over the last 4 years, we've been pretty successful. Our placement rate is about 90% in the first 30 days after you graduate.
That's awesome.
It's really changing lives, and I like to say that, you know, the best 4 days at the Maryland Food Bank are FoodWorks graduation days. You know, 100 people will come with balloons and kids and celebrate really a life-changing event for our students.
And do you have something to do with that? How long has that program been in existence, and do you have anything to do with its creation or expansion?
I didn't have anything to do with its creation, but I'm hopefully going to have a lot to do with its with
success.
This expansion.
Next generation,
this is,
yeah.
Yeah, this is the ninth year the FoodWorks program, so next year will be our 10th year, and we've got big plans. We currently do up to 100 students a year, and we're looking to triple that over the next 5 years. There are a lot of jobs out there in Central Maryland, in Baltimore and Central Maryland, and we're looking to grow the number of students, grow what we're doing in terms of our geographic coverage. We're looking at a kitchen renovation. There's a lot on our plate.
Yeah. Now, how can people get more involved in that? Online, you're mdfoodbank.org, is
yes.
that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and is it simple as you have to qualify or meet certain requirements to enter the program?
No, actually. We're about lowering barriers to employment.
That's awesome.
And so to lower barriers to employment, you have to lower barriers to training.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's a simple application process. There is a little background check, but, pretty simple.
And that comes with any real program.
Sure, comes with
right.
any program,
right.
Yeah. So I like to say that we have, students from 18 to 80. We're actually trying to expand that a little bit, maybe get a little bit below 18 for kids who are just coming out, opportunity youth who are coming out of school. But our average age is in the low 30s right now, and we recruit all the time. If you take your foot off the gas in terms of recruitment, your numbers drop down pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to graduate a class in July, and our next class starts right after that. And we recruit a couple of classes ahead. So anyone who's interested can, go to our website and contact us.
That's great. And I noticed you brought a bag of cookies. So it's an example of something you might be creating there. It's a healthy cookie, though, of course. Right?
Yes. We call it the Maryland Food Bank Magic Cookie because magically you can't have one. You got to have at least two. And so it's one of the social enterprise efforts that we're doing to support the training program. So we're hoping to get out into stores with the cookie in the next year.
Oh, great.
There's a lot of other things that we're doing to, support ourselves. We do congregate meals production. So we have a summer club and a supper club where we're feeding kids.
Yeah, summer club. We'll talk about that too. We're kind of bouncing around, but that's okay because you guys have so many great programs. We want to make sure we get to all of them.
Yep.
And that would, you're taking care of the kids who would normally get provided meals during the school year. Then when they're out of school, then it's like, where do you get your lunch and where do you get your breakfast?
Yeah.
Right?
So we're at about 55 sites across Maryland. So mostly in Central Maryland and the Eastern Shore. And we produce during the summertime, we're doing breakfast and lunch. We're at any place where kids really are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at Boys and Girls Clubs, we're at PAL centers, we're at any kind of community center. And so they're getting a hot breakfast and lunch from us, and a snack, by the way.
That's great.
So we just started this week, for the next 10 weeks or so, we'll be delivering to those places. And we're at pretty much the same sites during the school year, providing an after-school meal and a snack. We will probably, over the course of a fiscal year, produce about 430,000 meals for kids.
That's amazing. And what would we do without the Maryland Food Bank? You don't want to think about that, but those meals just wouldn't be happening.
Exactly. I mean, it is tough to measure in terms of the impact. The reality is that, we are meeting a significant part of the need, but there's more need to be met.
Mm-hmm.
And as we think about where we want to go as an organization, we really know that we have to do more than just distribute food. And that's really the theme of our 40th anniversary campaign, frankly.
Cool.
So we launched it in March. And the idea is that we would celebrate how far we've come, right? We started 40 years ago, a woman by the name of Ann Miller out of her garage, first year of an existence, provided enough food to provide 300,000 meals.
Wow.
Now we do that by Wednesday afternoon.
And
right?
this is like, I'm sure you know Lenny Kahn from the Baltimore
Sure,
Hunger
yeah, yeah sure, one of our partners.
Similar start, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's cool. So you talk about growth, my goodness.
Yeah.
In
so,
just 40 years, it's grown that much.
The reality is the need is great, right? And the reality is it's been a stubborn challenge, as I mentioned earlier. So what we've come to the conclusion is that as the food assistance safety net for the state of Maryland, we need to find a way to do more. And so the theme of our 40th anniversary campaign is it takes more than food to end hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have embarked on a strategic plan. This 40th anniversary has given us a platform to celebrate the past, but talk about where we're going in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're going in the future is try to find ways to begin to address the root cause of hunger. So we're still going to distribute food the way we always have. We're going to enhance that a little bit with regard to more focus on nutritious product. We want to make sure we're providing the most nutritious options we possibly can.
That's right.
We want to make sure we're reaching as far corners of the state as we possibly can in terms of distribution. So all that continues to happen, hopefully in an even better way than we've done for the past 40. But we want to increase the emphasis on figuring out what is it affecting that local community as it relates to, you know, causing people to have this food insecurity issue? And what solutions can we bring to bear to help that local community not only get food today through the Maryland Food Bank, but solve their problem long term? That's how our view of ending hunger really is. It's going to be more than just distributing food. It's going to be programs like workforce development that
FoodWorks does.
Is. Yeah. That's in our wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. But other services, whether it's transportation, healthcare, housing, there's other nonprofits doing great work in that space that we would invite into our network to begin to address this need in a bigger and bigger way. So that's really the message that we're sending through our 40th. Celebrate the past, but let's talk about where we're going in the future as an organization to really make even a bigger dent in the issue of food insecurity than we already have.
How also do you deal with, you know, food deserts and access to quality food and that sort of thing? We have so many different, that's one of the many things that you handle with the Maryland Food Bank. And I think it now would be a great time to clarify to people too, to our listeners, the difference between what our local food pantry, we mentioned, you know, Baltimore Hunger Project, all these great organizations you partner with, which thank you for doing that. You know, what you do versus, you know, what the Maryland Food Bank does versus those local pantries they might rely on that are listening to us right now.
Yeah. That's part of the, you know, I didn't know tour.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, people confuse us a lot with food pantries. And so we have a network partnership, network partners that number over 1,100 across the state, you know, from the Eastern Shore all the way to Western Maryland. And so these are organizations that, you know, are churches, community groups who have a food mission. And so they're providing food directly to clients who are food insecure. So they're really, if you will, kind of the last mile for us. You know, without them, we'd just be a warehouse. So, you know, those programs we try to support, and we're trying to build capacity as well into our network. But that's really the difference. Our network provides food to our clients, and we provide food to our network.
And that's an important distinction, right?
That network is
close to the ground, serving people 24/7, 365 days of the year, and they understand the needs of that community in a deeper way. Right. So our job is to figure out how we can leverage that knowledge and bring more resources to bear to help them do the great work that they're doing, or maybe grow the impact that they have in their local community. And that's where part of our strategic planning vision is to figure out, are our network partners, do we have enough network partners? Are they located in the areas where the needs are greatest? How many should we have in that area to effectively address the issue in a bigger way? And so we're really taking a much more focused effort on strengthening the network overall, building up the partnerships we already have, and see if there's others that might be worthwhile for us to invest in.
Did you kind of bring that perspective, both of you, to the Maryland Food Bank when you got here? Like, was that, maybe this is like a new way of thinking for the future, and also ultimately putting yourselves out of business?
Well,
right?
Yes and no, but we'll take credit for it.
So
the beauty of our team, and that's why I think it was important to talk about Tim's background and mine,
absolutely,
is we both... Both and the entire senior team comes from a more of a for-profit background, and to realize that this is, while we're a mission organization, you know, we are a logistics, warehousing, logistics distribution company as well.
And you're running a company.
Correct. And we're trying to get, you know, 40 million meals out to 11,000 square miles across the state through 1,100 partners. So that's a complicated business model. And so to try to bring some, you know, more margin-oriented perspective of how we do that in the most efficient way and what programs are most effective and creating the metrics to help us make sure that we're being as effective as we possibly can. I think that's the kind of value I think some of us have brought to the table given our more for-profit backgrounds. Some of these ideas may not have been ours, some of them are, but the ability to figure out which ones we continue to invest in and how do we begin to leverage the ones that are most effective is probably a perspective that I think we have brought.
I think the really, you know, what I would add to that is that, you know, it's understanding that we have a network and that there's value in that network and that there's capacity in that network and how do we support the network. You know, in the past, I would say that, you know, we were mostly concerned about we got to move food in and we got to move it out. Now we're really concerned about where's that food going and where can we have the most effect on the problem overall? Because if we really want to end hunger, we really have to be where the problem is the worst and build solutions that, you know, at the local level and help our partners build solutions at the local level. So I think that's a difference in kind of our focus from how we built the food bank to where we're taking the food bank.
Right, right. And have you discovered anything right now already, or an area that you've maybe sort of addressed that and noticed a change yet in their need, or, you know, how quickly does that happen? It's ongoing, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's ongoing, so it's tough to measure. You know, I think we have certainly have pockets of the state where we've seen more food distribution. We have pockets in the state where we've added partners because we know there's gaps in that. Mm-hmm. And we have pockets in the state where we've tried to add partners who are thinking about this more holistically in terms of wraparound services. So, you know, I think we have had an impact in certain communities. I think there's still work to be done. And so so we're just continuing to kind of push forward in that regard.
It's kind of mind-boggling to me to think of all that you do, because I think we tend to get sort of a Baltimore focus because we need so much help here in Baltimore. But then you also have to think you're statewide, so you're taking that and you're adding to... You know, it's hard to serve everyone, it would seem like, but you have to.
Another I had no idea, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
People tend to look at this issue of food insecurity as being isolated to certain demographics and certain geographies
and
across the state, right?
And that's not always true.
Right. Yeah. The reality is we serve children, working families, I mentioned earlier,
absolutely.
Seniors. I mean, we're in over 200 schools. We're in dozens of senior centers.
Mm-hmm.
So the faces of hunger kind of cuts across all segments. Secondarily, geographically, while Baltimore City is per capita the biggest food insecure jurisdiction, the market we serve, the next four after that, three of them are on the Eastern Shore and one in Western Maryland.
Wow, interesting.
So this is an urban, suburban, rural problem as much as anything. So,
Maryland problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Global problem, really. But
sadly, right.
Yeah, unfortunately. So how do you also, you know, the nature of like a canned food drive or a pantry, you would think of canned and boxed and items and things. Those are great and they can cut, you know, fill in the corners. But how do you, as you're, you know, kind of adding nutrition into the equation like that, how hard is that to do, and who can you get to help you with that? You know, or is there something that people who are listening now, is there a way as you continue to grow and serve, is there, you know, the help of future partners that you need, or how do you accomplish
that?
So,
yeah, that's a kind of two-pronged answer, challenges in there. So with regard to sourcing, we, as given our size of an organization, we have tremendous buying power. And so one of the things I would strongly encourage folks who are interested in supporting us, while we appreciate you're going to your local retailer and buying product and dropping it off, our buying power is much stronger than yours. So the dollar that you're spending on a retailer, we can leverage three times. And so, you know, one of the things we try to promote is our virtual food drive going on our website, mdfoodbank.org. We have a virtual food drive that allows you to see how far your dollar can go in terms of what it can ultimately be leveraged to buy. And that allows us to ensure that we're actually providing as much nutritious product as we can, protein-rich product as we can. So you might be buying stuff that might be of interest to you. We might have a lot of it already in stock. We may not have it already in stock. So this allows us to control our menu in a way we provide variety, we provide nutrition, and we provide more access. So we strongly encourage, I would never discourage anybody from donating food actually as an individual, but to the extent that you're willing to provide those same dollars and we're in a dollar support, we can take that much further.
That's smart.
The second challenge, if you don't mind, I want to hit on is there's a tremendous amount of education that needs to be done here, because as much as we feel good about providing a certain type of food, there's a lot of work we have to do around educating clients in need about how to prepare that food in a healthy way, why to try this food that you might historically never tried before. There's a certain, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in that space. And I'll give you a quick example. I was at a school in southern Baltimore maybe a year ago. It's a school pantry we had, and the school administrator had given this woman a bag of potatoes. And the woman was receiving it, was looking at the coordinator and just kind of looking at her like, what am I doing with these? What do I do with these? And the woman said, well, they're potatoes. You can prepare them in a variety of ways. And the woman said, man, potatoes come in a can.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So that's what really struck me, is as much as we want to talk about asparagus and broccoli and kale, right, and providing all these nutrition.
Brussels sprouts. All those trendy
vegetables. The
reality
is there's some work that needs to be done in some of the core vegetables just to help people understand how how to prepare a fresh product and how to do it in a very healthy way. So as much as we talk about offering more nutritious options, there's an education piece that's, it's hand-to-hand combat, one person at a time, try to help them understand why it's important.
Wow. So I know you guys have a ton of, go ahead, Tim, you want
to
Tim
has integrated into his curriculum, on the food work side.
Yeah, so we partner pretty closely with the food bank. I mean, it's great to run a community kitchen that's attached to 130,000 square foot
warehouse
of food.
You don't have to go too far.
And we work on connecting our students to the mission, because our students are working with donated food.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're preparing, roast chicken, roasted green beans, roasted potatoes. I know I'm saying roasted a lot, but you know, there's lots
of
other ways.
But that's a good, healthy way to prepare it, yeah.
What we do with those meals that they prepare is we actually vacuum seal them, freeze them, and they go on to our network menu. So our partners can order roasted chicken, roasted potatoes, roasted green beans, and they're getting it in, you know, vacuum sealed, and all they have to do is boil water and drop it in boiled water, and they've got a healthy, nutritious meal. And so each class creates somewhere between 25 and 35,000 meals over the course of 12 weeks, depending on the size of the class. And that really connects people to our mission, our students to our mission. And, you know, they will tell you that, you know, a big part of their growth during the 12 weeks is really understanding what food insecurity is. Mm-hmm. And we bring them to events that we do. They help us with catering and with other Maryland Food Bank events. We had students at every one of the three 40th anniversary kickoff events we did. And so they get to, you know, help educate people on what to do with a canned vegetable. You know, you can rinse it and rinse the sodium right off of it. Yeah. There's lots of things that you can do with the food that we're providing through the Maryland Food Bank. And so our students are kind of helping us share that message.
And the summertime is an important time, too, for a difficult time, right, to get volunteers and food donations. Yeah. That kind of everyone, like every week someone's on vacation, right? Hopefully, who knows. But so do you find that the summer is a particular challenge, too, as well, which is a good time to have you guys in here, too?
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why it's great to have us here today. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of attention, thankfully, during the holidays. It's top of mind in terms of people want to make sure that people aren't going hungry during the holidays, but the reality is this is a year-round problem. Mm-hmm. And summertime maybe more so than most, because what you talked about earlier about summer meals. I mean, kids being out of school historically might have had access, or during the course of the school year, have access to meals in their school, and then now they no longer have to do that, and parents are trying to figure out a way to fill that gap. And so the need becomes even actually greater in the summertime months. And unfortunately, to your point earlier, I mean, people are on vacations or doing some other things and maybe get preoccupied with daily life, and we may not be top of mind. So it's a good time to have us here. I thank you for doing that so that we can hopefully keep it front and center. We do things more proactively in the summertime around fresh produce. We contract grow. A lot of people don't realize that 25% of the food that we distribute, we actually buy. And we do have contract growing with about 10 different farms across the state to provide fresh produce during take advantage of fresh produce that's coming out
and
during the
that
summer.
That helps that industry
Absolutely.
As well. Huge. Yeah.
Exactly. And then we also glean from about 60 farms across the state where we have volunteers going on site to a farm who's donated a second pass of product or some portion of their farm to allow us to go in and take some extra products. So that's a big activity for us in the summertime to make sure that we're providing as much nutritious and fresh produce as we can.
Mm-hmm. And then how do you guys get a hold of your partners? Do they come to you?
They do actually come to us, and we're trying to be more intentional about how we grow our network and how we build it out. But there's a lot of interest, as you can imagine, in food insecurity across the state. And so there are organizations all across the state who are saying, hey, we should have a food mission. And fortunately now coming to the food bank to try to be part of our network. And so we have a process where we evaluate what their plans are, and we go out and we visit their site. And, you know, we're part of Feeding America, so we have kind of standards around, you know, what you need to do if you want to run a food pantry and how you have to kind of operate it.
Yeah. Can you explain Feeding America a little bit for people that might not know what that is? Or say what that means.
Sure. Basically. Feeding America is a national organization of food banks. There are over 200 food banks across the country.
Gotcha.
Maryland Food Bank is one of the earliest members of Feeding America. We're actually number 7 on their list.
That's great.
And we were one of the first food banks on the East Coast in the United States. So they help us, you know, with funding, with a lot of research, you know, but also with kind of standards. And so we really value the relationship that we have with them.
That's
and
great.
What it creates is access to other food banks, right? So the 200 food banks across the country, many of which have dealt with, you know, various issues in their local communities that might be similar to ours. And so as we embark on a new initiative as an organization, there's people that we can go and talk to say, have you tried this before? What worked? What didn't work? A lot of best practice sharing that hopefully eliminates some of the mistakes you could make along the way, increases the likelihood of success. And so it's really become an important network for us to leverage as much as we can. The other thing, you know, I don't want to lose sight of our volunteer network. Same website, and we have a section there that allows you to go ahead and sign up for a volunteer opportunity. So we have, you know, over 7,000 individuals donating over 40,000 hours of volunteer time in our facility. We could not do the work we do without our volunteer base. And so that's a another opportunity to provide some of your time and come in and help us sort product that's coming in from retailers, bag food. Some of the Tim's talking about. They're actually the ones doing the actual vacuum sealing of the products of the of the meals that Tim's team is doing. So there's plenty of opportunity for folks to be engaged, you know, whether it's financially or just donating your time.
That's great.
It's like over $1 million of cost that basically extracted from the company by using volunteers to do some of the work we're doing.
That's very effective. It's huge. So we could be anything from students to seniors.
Absolutely.
To just, you know, people with a little extra time.
Absolutely.
And how can we help you with the future growth of the Maryland Food
Bank?
Yeah,
again, it's getting us as much access to nutritious food as we can. Funding, financial support would help us do that.
Mm-hmm.
And want the community to know that we are focused on, you know, taking a deeper dive in this issue of food insecurity. So that's an important point, I think, in terms of where we're trying to go as an organization. We think the impact we've had so far in 40 years has been great. We think the next 40 years is going to be even greater.
Yeah.
And so that's a killer message that we want to send.
I applaud you both and every single person who has, you know, helped the Maryland Food Bank over the years. Thank you so much. You're an amazing organization. And anything else I've forgotten, Tim, that you want to make sure that we stress?
No, I don't think so. I think Carmen wrapped it up pretty well. You know, we've got an exciting plan for the next 5 years. We think it's going to launch us into, you know, a great future. I know that the work that we're doing is vital for the state. And you know, it's always fun when you're changing lives. And we're changing lives every day at FoodWorks and at the Maryland Food Bank.
You are, absolutely. Tim Regan, who was just talking, executive director of the FoodWorks program, part of Maryland Food Bank, and Carmen Del Guecho, your president and CEO. You're doing such a great job, both of you together. Thank you. Anything else we can do to help? Happy 40th anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's to 40 more, and anybody who wants any information, mdfoodbank.org. You guys are also on social media as well. I know you're active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, I believe, as well.
Yep.
Reach out to me on all those platforms as well, at Gina Crash, and I'll put you in touch with the Maryland Food Bank. Thank you guys so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Gina. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gina.
This has been a production of Entercom Baltimore. We'll see you next time.